So if you have your Bibles, open with me to the book of Acts right quick. And I've been preaching on discipleship. And if y'all give me the next couple hours, I'll preach this great. Just kidding. Acts chapter 2. I began with this passage when I started this series, and I'm going to end with this passage. We're going to close this out today. Talked about the life of a disciple. Let's read from Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as any had need. Now we talked about the life of a disciple as being one in relationship with the Lord and relationship with others. We talked about the prayer life of a disciple. We talked about discipleship being stewardship over God's gifts to us. And today I want to focus on verse 43. And I debated about whether or not I should do this, but anyhow, we're going to dig into this and it's going to be a blessing. Verse 43, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the hands of the apostles. So I'm going to make a statement that's bold here. The life of a disciple is one that is open to the possibility of miracles every day. Okay, let me say it again. We learn through repetition. The life of a disciple is one that's open to signs and wonders and miracles every day. So I thought about this and I went through the old arguments, you know, in my mind. Well, you know, it says the apostles worked miracles. Maybe that's not us. Or maybe the miracles ceased with the apostles. Or, you know, all these old arguments that I don't believe, but I just rehearsed them in my mind. Or maybe it was for the foundation of the church. You know, when the church goes into an area that's never been, the gospel's never been there before, there's miracles and there's signs that happen when the gospel comes in and all that. But I went back and dug through Scripture and came up with several facts that I think is going to disprove that and prove our point this morning. First of all, Jesus did. Facts about miracles? Jesus did them. Jesus did them. Notice this, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all..." And I bolded "healing all," because I don't think it's hyperbole here. I think it's reality. "Healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So Jesus went about doing miracles in his ministry. Mark chapter 9, verse 35. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing," listen, "every sickness and every disease among the people." Every sickness and every disease among the people. Luke chapter 5, "However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who came out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, years ago, I did a study of the healing miracles of Jesus, and I just went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I wrote down all the miracles of Jesus, and I kind of categorized them in, you know, columns. What was the miracle? How did the miracle take place? Did someone pray, or did he touch someone, or did he make mud out of spit and put someone, you know, how did the miracle happen? And then what was the result? And it was really amazing. It took me a while to preach through all those things, but it really transformed our understanding of the church. I had one lady in our church back in those days, business lady in Washington, and she came up to me and she said, "I want to meet with you." And I'm like, "Okay." She says, "This thing has messed me up. Because once I see all that Jesus was doing, why are we not doing those things?" Jesus is healing the sick, and he's casting out demons, he's raising the dead, he's healing the lame, the blind. I mean, he's doing all these miracles. Why are we not seeing these in our day? It was so great in the life of Jesus that he even measured his own ministry based upon the miracles, signs, and wonders. You know, we measure things that count, right? Tonight, if you come back, we're having vision night tonight, and we'll talk about our statistics for the past year and giving and membership and all that kind of thing. And some people say, well, you shouldn't count those things. But hey, we should count those things because you count what matters. You count how much money you have in your pocket. And we count what matters because what matters is it helps us to plan, helps us to build, it helps us to build parking spaces, helps us to build ministries, so forth and so on. So anyhow, Jesus was counting what matters. And notice this, John the Baptist is the one who baptized him. But then later when John the Baptist was put in prison, he sent his disciples out kind of second-guessing who Jesus was and came and asked him this question. Jesus said, go and tell John, his disciples came, this is Matthew chapter 11. He says, go and tell John the things which you hear and see, the blind see and the lame walk. You want to know if I'm the Messiah? Am I the real deal? Here's the deal. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. It's not about political power. It's not about fame. It's not about money. It's about who is getting touched, what kind of miracles are happening, and is the gospel being preached to those who need it preached to them. Can somebody shout amen? But you could say, okay, well, that was Jesus, and he was God in the flesh and the Son of God incarnate, but how about us? Well, the second thing is, Jesus said we could do miracles. Not only did he provide an example, but then he gave us the command, really, to go forth and do the works that he did. Notice John 14. Most surely I say unto you, that who believes in me, the works that I do, and that work in the Greek is really this works of miracles that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Man alive, this is like a blank check, right? You think I've been doing great things? You wait till you see what you could do. Wait till there's millions of you gathered together. And wait till you see the miracles that's going to happen when that thing takes place. So Jesus didn't say, after me, I'm sorry, guys, but you're out of luck. I've got all the miracles, and I'm the whole show, and once I'm gone, you're going to come together, you're going to sing a few hymns, and you're going to go home, but forget about me doing anything in your life. No, that's not what he said. This power that was in him, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the power that was on him is now transferred to the church. And now the church has that same spiritual power, and we should walk in the same miracle anointing of Jesus. Okay, Mark chapter 16. I've been reading Matthew chapter 24, this whole series on the Great Commission. This is Mark's version of it, and I love this. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How many believe that? That we should do that. We're commanded to go to all the world. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. How many believe that? And these signs will follow those who believe. So we're not to follow signs, they're to follow us. In my name, they will cast out demons. So how many believe that? All right, thank you for hanging with me here. If you believe he came to save the lost, if you believe that we're to believe in him and be baptized to be saved, if you believe in world missions, we're to take the gospel around the earth, then you must believe that we can cast out demons. Somebody says, we don't have demons in America. Then another person said, well, no, they're just wealthier and medicated. We medicate our demons. Same stuff here, guys. Come on, man. Same stuff here we're dealing with. You've probably had them in your own house. I told the early crowd, that's when you need to take out the bottle of oil. And that's when you need to get to anointing some stuff, some doorways and some hinges and some... Come on, we anoint our house, man. We want it cleansed in the name of Jesus. I want no spirits on my property. None. You said you have the authority to do that? According to this, I do. According to this, we have the authority to cast spirits out as long as you don't open the door for them. You cast them off your property and out of your family. That's why, man, we've had so many people come into our house that, man, it's just peaceful here. Thank you. They should say that about your house, right? You come in, man, it's just a peace here, man. Yeah, you've been praying. You've been walking in this stuff. That authority's flowing through you in the name of Jesus, and Satan has no, come on, say it with me. Satan has no place in my life, my family's life, nor on my property. Thank you very much. Nor in my business. Number two, they will speak, back to the same verse, they will speak with new tongues. Yeah, but Paul said that just, do all speak with tongues? That it's not for everybody. No, this is for everybody. They that believe, these signs follow, believe. How many believers do we have? So if you're a believer, you have the right and privilege and beautiful opportunity to pray in the Spirit and pray in tongues. This is talking about baptism, I believe, that we saw in the book of Acts. You have the right and authority to pray in the Spirit of God. I know a lot of people don't teach this anymore. Man, I believe it with every fiber, cell, DNA, molecule in my body, that you have the authority to go pray in the Holy Ghost, because we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us because we don't know how to pray, that when we pray, that the Spirit prays through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. That we don't know how to pray, we come before God and we start crying out to God and the Spirit prays through us. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, that we're to take up all the helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, and sword of truth, and have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and all that stuff. Then he said, and praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That we pray in the Spirit, man. That's getting down and letting the Spirit pray through us. These are signs that follow believers. So every time we pray in tongues, it's a sign and a wonder that God Himself is dwelling in us and is praying through us. Number three, they will take up serpents. Come with me to West Virginia. Just kidding. There are people who take this and believe that they're to worship with serpents. However, we don't believe that. But we believe it two different ways. Number one, it's a symbolic thing of the spirit realm, I believe, that we have power over scorpions and serpents. Jesus said in Luke 11 that we have power to tread on scorpions and serpents. He's talking about the spiritual powers of darkness. However, this also has a literal interpretation. Do you remember Paul when he goes to the island of Malta? He's picking up sticks to start a fire, and all of a sudden a poisonous serpent comes out and attaches to him. He shakes it off into the fire, and it's such a miracle to these guys that he wasn't hurt that they believe he's a god. So we have power in the name of Jesus, signs and wonders follow us, and if we drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. That's for me and you. Years ago, Dr. Elias Malky, who was my mentor, he used to come here every year. He went to be with the Lord last year. Dr. Malky told me of a story of a North African Muslim who had watched his television broadcast, because Malky used to preach on TV in Arabic. It's the first Arabic preacher on television in the world. He and Pat Robertson started the Middle East Gospel Outreach together. And when he would preach in Arabic, he would do kind of like a 700 club, but in Arabic. And then he would pray for the sick and give words of knowledge. Well, he was praying, and one day, and this young Muslim boy in North Africa gave his life to Christ. He accepted Jesus right over the television. And so he went and told his family, and he said he knew it was going to be a bad deal to tell his family because they were, you know, he would be basically outcast in this culture. So he went and told his family, he said, Mom, Dad, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm following Him now. And he said he was really shocked that they didn't say much about it nor do anything to him. But a few weeks later, they came to him, and they said, Son, we want to talk to you. We have also accepted this Christ into our hearts. Because when you came to us, we knew it was such a shame that we couldn't tell anybody what you had done. So at dinner one night, we poisoned your food. And you ate it, and nothing happened to you. So we went back, and we doubled the poison and fed you another poison meal, and nothing happened to you. We now believe this Jesus that you've accepted into your heart. Hallelujah. Signs, and we are people of signs and wonders. We're not dead, dried up, head only Christians. We're not American evangelicals, milk slop, milk toast, watered down plain vanilla yogurt people. We're Holy Ghost and fire people. We're people full of miracles, signs, and wonders, believing that anything can happen at any moment because we have a supernatural God who has intervened into our lives. He's not just the deistic God that sits out there and puts everything in motion and we just have to sit around and talk about how miserable we are. No, he's the God who said, I have come down to help you now. And I'm going to do signs and wonders among you. Final thing, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I've quoted this thousands of times. But we have the authority and the power in Jesus' name to lay hands on the sick, and he said, they shall recover. You say, but Pastor Hans, what about all those people that don't get hit? Listen, don't worry. That's not our job to figure all that out. It's not our job to figure out why everyone isn't healed and a miracle didn't happen there and God didn't show up when you needed to. It's not our job. My job is to obey the commands of my superior officer. He has told me, go forth and preach the gospel and lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. He's always behind me. He's always in front of me and around me. And I know that I can go to him and just have this much faith and he can move mountains in my life. Somebody say, Jesus did it. We can do it. The life of the disciple is that we follow the example of the master. What the rabbi does, we can do. He raised the dead, evidently we can raise the dead. He healed the sick, evidently we can heal the sick. He cleansed the lepers, evidently we can cleanse the lepers. Okay, not only that, but the early church was proof of God's miracle working power. That they continued in the miracle ministry of Jesus. Notice this, Acts 4. Now, Lord, look on their threats. After they were persecuted and sent back and told, don't you speak in the name of Jesus anymore. They were persecuted and cast out of the temple grounds. What did they do? They went immediately back and had a prayer meeting and prayed for miracles. They went back and had this prayer meeting and said, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They went back after being persecuted and prayed for miracles and signs and wonders. I'm telling you, in the age we live in, with such skepticism and such bias against the church, I think now more than ever we need to pray that God shows up and does miracles, signs, and wonders through his church. Don't you? Okay. Acts chapter 5, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were with all one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them high. People were so afraid of them because of the miracle-working power that was on the church that people were scared to join it. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, while signs and wonders were happening, so that they brought the sick out in the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. They were all healed. They were all healed. So they're working in the same miracle authority and miracle power that Jesus did. Let me just run down a list. In Acts chapter 3, Peter heals a lame man. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira are struck dead because they lie to God. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles perform miracles, as we saw. In Acts chapter 8, Peter and John lay hands on people and they receive the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, Peter heals Aeneas of a palsy. In Acts chapter 9, Peter raises Tabitha or Dorcas to life from the dead. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is delivered out of prison by an angel because of the prayers of the church. Acts chapter 12, God smites Herod so that he dies. Acts chapter 13, Elymas, the sorcerer, is smitten with blindness because he stood against the gospel. Acts chapter 9, Paul is converted on the road to Damascus by a heavenly vision and supernatural encounter with God. Acts chapter 14, Paul heals a cripple. Acts chapter 16, Paul casts out a spirit of divination from a slave girl. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas pray, and God shows up in his presence and gives provides an earthquake for them and breaks the prison doors open of the prison. In Acts chapter 19, Paul lays hands upon the Ephesians and they receive the Holy Spirit, speak with tongues. Acts chapter 20, Paul restores Eutychus to life from the dead. Acts chapter 28, Paul shakes off the viper that I talked about. And in Acts chapter 28, Paul heals the father of Publius and others from sickness. This litany of miracles in the book of Acts shows us that the apostles walked in exactly the same miracle-working authority that Jesus did. Hallelujah. So what's that mean for me and you? Well, we're disciples, aren't we? And we've been given the same commission as the early disciples did. We've been given the same commission. We've been given the same authority. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means shall harm you." We've been given the same authority and the same power now, and now it's ours to use. So I want to bring it down to this last thing. I thought about not using this because it's a bold statement, but it was used by T.L. Osborne, and I want to explain it. Miracles are proof of God's love. Miracles are proof of God's love. Okay? Let me explain. When God shows up and does a miracle, it becomes a living manifestation that all can see that God is still alive and well. And some say, yeah, but our faith shouldn't rest on miracles and stuff like that. Well, if your faith doesn't rest on miracles, you aren't a Christian. Let me explain. Jesus being born of a virgin was a miracle. Jesus dying and raising from the dead was a super miracle. Our faith is based upon Him being born of a virgin and raising from the dead. Oh yeah, let me throw in another one. Him being the Son of God, eternal, came down, manifested in the flesh. It's the greatest miracle of all. It's called the incarnation. The greatest miracle of all. God became man. Hallelujah. So if we don't believe in miracles, we don't believe in Christianity. So the same God that came down through the virgin and was born, the same God that came out of the tomb on the third day, the same God that came out of heaven and became man, is the same God that lives in me right here today. Hallelujah. His same power is working in my life and in your life. If you've been washed in the blood and filled with the Spirit, you have the authority of Jesus in you. You have the miracle working power in you. Lay hands on somebody at Walmart. Come on. Lay hands on somebody over at Big Lots. They need Jesus. Come on. Go to Ollie's and have some church, man. Have it in your backyard. Have it in your living room. When you have people over for small groups, it's not just a time to share hearts. It's a time to loose the power of God and let God come and do something that we can't do. Listen, we can counsel and we can empathize and we can sympathize and we can listen to your woes and hear all your past and bring out your inner child and do all this kind of stuff. But that has some measure of good. But one moment in the miracle-working presence of Jesus can do more than I can do in 100 years of counsel and Bible teaching. I'm getting excited right now. Amen? He's the rabbi. We're the Talmudim. What He does, we do. The song I wrote, we see Him on the water, we step out on the water. We tell the fear and all the disappointments and unbelief, goodbye. The Islamic State has been, you know, filling the headlines, ISIS and all that jazz, especially with Syria. I read a story of a family from Syria, Amir, Rasha, and their two children, who fled the Syrian city of Homs. And they've been living in a tent since 2012. One day, one of their family members was walking home and got shot and killed by a stray bullet. Another day, another family member is walking home and gets shot and killed by a bullet. But listen what happened to them. Rasha says, about 3 months ago, I was given a vision of Jesus Christ. I was sleeping, and all of a sudden, I saw Jesus Christ in white. He said, I am Christ, you will have a beautiful daughter. I was 8 months pregnant, and a month later we received a beautiful daughter. About the same time, my husband had a dream too. The husband said, I saw Jesus Christ. He was dressed in white, and he said to me, I am your Savior, and you will follow me. So both Amir and Rasha made a bold decision after their dreams. We must follow this man named Jesus. So they named this new little baby Christina, because they were now Christians. And they said, we left Islam, and we left our old Islamic customs. This is just a story of thousands in the Middle East who are receiving prophetic dreams and visions of Jesus and are getting saved. I'm telling you, God is using signs and wonders to preach in places where we can't go. It's crazy if you just read these accounts online. Speaking of Dr. Mauchie, I pulled this up and I thought it was interesting. He used to, you know, he went to be with the Lord last year, but he had so many miracles in his ministry. One lady writes from Jordan to him and says, I'm here to testify, Dr. Mauchie, about the miracle that took place while I was watching your television program, The Good News. My brother Waleed is in his mid-50s and he started to experience difficulty in breathing, and it was so bad he could hardly take a few steps without falling down from exhaustion. So we took him to the doctor and then x-rayed his lungs, and the doctor gathered the family around and showed us the x-ray, and he told that my brother had advanced lung disease and showed us the x-rays, and we could see that the lungs were totally black. And the doctor said that my brother was dying, and we were all in shock. But I told my family we should pray and ask God to help. So she says, I regularly watch your program, Dr. Mauchie. Two nights later, I was watching the program, and you said that if anyone needs healing, they should touch the television and pray. So I reached out my hand to the TV and started to pray for my brother, Waleed. And as I was praying, I heard you say, there's a man who has lung disease and is dying. Now, Dr. Mauchie would tape these programs sometimes a week in advance. He is being healed. And she said, before you could say his name, I screamed my brother's name. Then I heard you say, his name is Waleed, and he's instantly healed. She said, I couldn't believe it. That night I called my sister-in-law and told her that Waleed was healed. I told her to take him back to the hospital tomorrow and have more tests done. So we all went with her the next day as we took the brother to the hospital. We also took the old x-rays with us. When the doctor looked at the new tests, he was shocked to see that the lungs were clean and perfectly healthy. We showed him the old x-rays, and he compared them side by side with the new ones, and he was stunned. It was a great testimony of God's power to the doctor. 2 years later, my brother still enjoys perfect health. We serve a God of miracles. We serve a God of miracles. Years ago, Jackie's father and the Lord, H. Richard Hall, the man I was ordained under years ago, he's going to be with the Lord, but we still preach in that camp meeting every year and have good relations with those people. Mike Shreve, who's been here, grew up in that. Anyhow, Brother Hall said he was preaching in the Bahamas. And there have been men from the Bahamas in these meetings every year that testify because they were in this meeting. And these guys said that Brother Hall was preaching in the Bahamas, and one night, these people came up to him and said, Brother Hall, would you pray for a stiff? He said, I'll pray for anything. Stiff arms, stiff legs, stiff necks, it don't matter. So he said they carried in a corpse and laid a girl on the front pew, a stiff. He said, man, when I saw her, every bit of faith drained out of my toes and left me. But as we kept going with the meeting, he said, this big brother from the Bahamas grabbed the mic and he started singing, my God can do anything. My God can do anything. And Brother Hall said, feeling nothing, I walked down to that girl and went up to her and said, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And he said, breath came back into her lungs and she sat up completely alive. And brothers come every year that testify. He said, you want to talk about revival? We had some revival in the Bahamas after somebody came back from the dead. Maybe God's just waiting for somebody to be that bold. Maybe God's just waiting on us, man. It don't take a whole lot. It just takes a little bit of faith. It isn't based on performance. It's based on faith and prayer. So, man, maybe he's just waiting for somebody to be that bold. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. My dad saw this and remembered it or knew of the story years ago. Ruby said there was a young girl, a young boy or girl down in Kentucky who had polio back in the old days. And it was a young girl, and they took her to the water to be baptized, and she was baptized in the river and came out of that river healed of polio that day. And they all knew it. My dad even knew of it. Come on, God is a miracle. Has he ever done anything for you? Listen, we are not like people who have no hope, Paul said. We're not like people who have no hope, that we just say, well, I'm going to go to church and sing a few songs and go home and live my miserable life, and I'm going to read some books on God is a disappointing God, and I'm going to listen to some preachers that just teach that, you know, miracles have passed away. No, throw those in the garbage can, man, and get into the Bible and get into some faith-oriented people that believe if we're sick, we pray till healing comes. We believe this is a financial problem, we get a hold of God, and we say, God, you can provide, you can make a way where there is no way, God. When it seems like all doors are shut, we're going to say, God, we're going to ask and keep on asking. We're going to seek and keep on seeking. We're going to knock until the door is open. And God, you said that if I ask anything in your name, you're going to do it for me, God. And I'm going to hold on to the horns of the altar. And I'm not going to stop till heaven comes down and God shows up on my behalf. And he does what no man can do. And I'll stand and give you all the glory, Lord. I'll give you all the praise. I'll give you all the honor. Because it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Come on, somebody give him a shout. God is able. He's a miracle worker. He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think. Woo! Come on, give him a shout in here. Hallelujah. Say, come on, say it. Lord, I'm not quitting. Come on, my blessing's on the other side of my faith. And I'm opening the door today. And I'm letting the blessings roll. Come on. Woo! Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, how many soul hunters do I have in here? Did you guys hear the testimony of this girl y'all prayed for that had a tumor the other day? They just told me. Does anybody know that story? I was talking to BJ Meads out in the foyer between services. And BJ said they prayed for this person who had a tumor, and it said it like they were constantly in an uncomfortable position. They said, well, hey, we'll pray for you. And they prayed for this person, got to report back that they were completely healed. Now you say, now hold on, Brother Hans. God can't work through hunters like that. It's exactly who he wants to work through. He wants to work through some hunters and some fishermen, some rednecks, to do some miracles, hallelujah. He wants to work through some hipster people to do some miracles. He wants to work through some educated and some uneducated. He wants to work through those in the in crowd and those in the out crowd to do some miracles. God said, if you got flesh, you're a candidate. Because he said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. So if you've got flesh, you're a candidate. God wants to do miracles and signs and wonders through you. Thank God for Sally Tadlock. And thank God for the healing rooms that we began. She came to me years ago, and she said, I want to do a healing room ministry. And I said, let's do it, man. Let's just make it happen. And they started here, and Kyle and, you know, Denise now, who's kind of carrying the load of it, Denise and Larry and all these guys. And, man, every Tuesday, if I'm here or I'm here for a meeting late or something, I just feel good right down in my soul to know that miracle door is being opened and we're saying come one and come all from wherever you are in life and come into this house and we'll lay hands on you and we'll believe God to do something that the doctors can't do. We'll believe God to do something the psychologists can't do. Hallelujah. Yeah, well, it's in my DNA. Well, we're going to pray about that. Let's change our language and change our skepticism and turn it into faithism. Because we have a natural, it's in me too, we have a natural tendency when somebody says, well, you know, your family. It's DNA and it's all that and it's in your genes and all that. You know, we have a tendency to go down that, well, you know what the doctor said, there's no hope here, blah, 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 blah. Well, let's turn that into faith. And let's turn these doubts and skepticisms into opportunities. So let's say, hey, I've got something wrong. Hey, we have an opportunity now. And this opportunity is for God to come on the scene and do something that man thinks is impossible. And then when God does it, God's going to get all the glory for it. This is going to really blow your mind, but I'm going to leave you with this mind blower, and we're going to pray. We have a friend that we took to a gospel meeting one night, Jackie, of course. And in this meeting, through a series of circumstances, this lady's mouth was filled with gold fillings. Supernaturally. She went home and started brushing her teeth and noticed that the Lord had placed several gold fillings in her mouth, gold caps, gold crowns in her mouth. It was a supernatural. I had her come to my church and testify. We know her. Her daughter's a very close friend of ours. And this lady's just an old school Church of God lady, just like some of y'all has been going to church her whole life. So you know what she did? She went and made an appointment with her dentist. And she said, tell me what you see. And he said, I see some absolutely beautiful gold crowns. She said, now did you do this work? He was a Hindu. Now did you do this work? He said, no, ma'am, you know, I'm your dentist. I didn't do this work. She said, do you want to know who did this work? Yeah, Jesus did this stuff right here. Jesus brought the gold caps. Y'all know Doug Eccles, how fun. He said, my luck would be I'd get a grill, front grill. But I can't. God does do miracles, amen. He cares about the smallest things, and he cares about the largest things. Some of y'all have been struggling with stuff. Turn it to the Lord, man. Turn it to the Lord and have faith and walk out of here free of that junk right now. Come on, let's all stand. Come on, hands lifted. Father, we thank you for your miracle-working power today. We thank you, God, that it's over our kids right now, that it's over our church right now. God, I pray this house becomes a house of miracles like never before. God, even I know we've had great changed lives, and God, we want more of that. But Father, I pray cancers dissolve. Right now, they just dissolve when people come in here. Lord, I pray tumors just start falling off people. Kiss on the Lord. God, I pray diseases that are incurable start being healed in this atmosphere, Father, in Jesus' name, God. Help us to create the atmosphere right here, God, for your presence to dwell, Lord. In the name of Jesus, that these things just start happening in our church, Lord. God, I pray for mental disabilities to be healed in our congregation in Jesus' name. I pray for arms and legs to grow out, for deformities to become normal, Lord. I pray for outstanding, astonishing miracles to happen, God, that people not will praise Hans Hester, Fountain of Life, but they'll know that God is alive and well, and Jesus is still alive and well and working in his people.
Thanks so much for watching this podcast, or if you're just listening to it, thanks so much for being part of our church service today. I know the Word is so rich, and when we give attention to the Word comes in and does amazing things in our lives. You know, I feel in our church that recently we've just been like sitting on a powder keg of the Holy Spirit, and it's just ready to blow. Man, I see lives changed every single week in our church, and it's so exciting. I walk out of here sometimes, and it's like I've had a surreal experience of just seeing God move and do things that I only previously dreamed of. So I'm so glad that you're part of that today. And you know, the greatest decision you can ever make in life is to serve the Lord Jesus, to ask Him into your heart, to make Him the Lord of your life, to ask Him to take away all the sin, all the shame, and all the guilt. If you'd like to pray with me right now and receive Him into your heart, this can happen. You can pray right where you are, whether you're at home or you're at work or wherever you're listening to this. You can pray right now and ask the Lord into your life, and He can do something that no other man can do. He can bring peace, He can bring salvation, He can bring healing. So if you're ready for that, just pray with me right now. Say these words, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask that you forgive me of all my sin, that you wash away the guilt, that you wash away the shame. I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life and help me to serve you from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. And you can say amen where you are. I want to pray for you now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone watching. I ask that you bring healing. I ask that you bring deliverance. I ask that you bring peace of mind. Lord, for those struggling with family problems, Lord, I ask that you come in and speak peace to the storm that's going on in their lives right now. And Lord, we love you. We bless you. We thank you today for who you are. Thank you for the audience listening and watching today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So follow us online. Follow us on our social media pages. Thanks so much for listening. And till next time, walk with the Lord. Be blessed. Grow in the Word and go forward in Him.